Minutes to 11. Yeah, this is a worrying story, and I think we should all think carefully about this story, because today Telegraph's got a story about what's happening in the juvenile justice system. We know, for instance, Queensland prisons, there are guards fearing for their safety due to overcrowding. There's been a recent spate of violent attacks on officers. So this is a broad question across the prison system. You hear a lot of it here on this program. You know that Ray Hadley has a lot of people in the prison system that talk to him and give him information about what's happening in the prison system, and a lot of stories have been broken on this show. Unfortunately, you can expect in 2019 you'll hear more of that as the year goes on. But today we're talking about the New South Wales juvenile justice system. Over 20, 25 years, I've heard people talk about juvenile justice and young people. You hear people like Father Chris Riley who say, well, look, you know, you've got to prevent these kids getting in there, because once they're in, it's very, very difficult to get them on the right path, that it's the last resort. In some cases, people go to a juvenile justice institution because there's nowhere else to send them. They've got no home, parents don't want them, you can't just throw them on the streets. So within that system, it is very, very important that it's run in a way that gives those people the best chance for rehabilitation, for the simple reason that they're going to be on the streets eventually. You want to make sure they don't do it again. So what do we have right now? A suggestion that within the system there, this houses about 280 people only, but over 6 months last year, there were 70 reported assaults. The staff say they were facing violence and threats every single day. These are teenagers who are in this system who will eventually be out. Apparently, there's no high-risk unit or centre separate from the broader juvenile justice system. It says that juveniles on terror-related offences are mingling with others who are in there on minor offences. Well, it can't be too minor if they're in there, but nonetheless, they're in there. Now, the union, the Public Service Association, is calling for an overhaul of the system. They want a reintroduction of high-risk offender units, and they want therapeutic centres that offer counselling and education. And again, I say, people are going to say, oh, counselling, education. When you're talking about young people, if you don't do that now, you're going to be stuck with criminals for the rest of their lives. This is where you can make a decision that they go down one path or another. Stuart Little is the General Secretary of the PSA, knows all about this, joins us on the line now. Stuart, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Now, my stats right, 70 assaults as reported this morning from 280 juvenile justice inmates.
Well, that's right, and I'd suggest to you on the figure, that's reported assaults, and I'd suggest to you the actual figure would be far, far higher than that. Unfortunately, you have a situation at the moment where, you know, these events are occurring virtually on a daily basis, and, you know, we've been in and out of the industrial court for the last 2 years, really begging both the department and the minister, the government, to act on this. And it's unfortunately just sort of fallen on deaf ears. And, you know, you had a situation last Wednesday where, you know, our members stopped work right across the state. Every facility was put into lockdown and they walked off the job. And can I say, it's very, very rare for that sort of action within juvenile justice. But it's happened because, you know, the frustration at being, you know, spat on, kicked, punched on a daily basis, it's just really, you know, it's really come to the, you know, the members have come to the end of their tether.
Yeah. And look, it's last resort, but it is a place where the kids that are in there, and they are kids, they're teenagers, ultimately what happens in there is going to set them on a course for the rest of their life. And you're painting a picture, a pretty miserable picture of what's going on in there.
Oh, look, that's right. And I'd suggest to you at the moment, I mean, you know, the bulk of these high-risk and these violent offenders, I mean, you know, they're virtually being given a one-way ticket to the adult system. I mean, that's where they're going. They're going to end up in Long Bay, Cessnock, you know, down in Goulburn, because at the moment, unless we can get a therapeutic unit in there, a high-risk unit, where we can have intensive staffing, staff with the right training and the ability to deal with these high-risk offenders, but also having in there the programs that these people need. And, I mean, we do this in the adult system. You know, we do it with proven effect in the adult system. Why on earth are we not doing it in the juvenile system? We have the staff. You know, we have the programs. Would be a little bit of infrastructure. We could actually introduce sort of, you know, a unit in most facilities, but certainly within Frank Baxter and Cobham, you know, we could get one of these units up in a matter of weeks. What we don't have is the political willingness to go down this path. And it's
Why not?
Well, because I think that the minister's worried about what's occurred up in the territory. I can only assume that because it is counterintuitive. It is illogical that when you've got an approach that works in the adult system, why on earth would you not at least trial it in the juvenile system?
It's because of what happened in the Northern Territory. But what you're suggesting an approach that's different to what they had up there, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, can I say New South Wales? You know, there's never had a history of any incidents like that. I mean, quite the opposite. I mean, what we did have back in 2015 was a situation where if you know high risk offenders were assaulting staff, they got sent to the carry-on facility. Now, that was run by, the correctional officers from, the adult system. And obviously, their approach was quite different. Now, we're not suggesting that, but what we are suggesting is that if you're going to have these high-risk offenders, and can I say, John, you're talking about people who've been charged with murder, yep. People who've been charged with very, very serious terror-related offences. Why on earth would you have those people in there mixing in general population?
With other young people?
Well, and you have a situation now when some of these offenders go to court, you've got the tactical response unit of the New South Wales Police coming there to pick them up, right? And yet they drop them off and they go into a juvenile facility where we simply don't have the ability to deal with them.
Do we need to be quite blunt about this and say there are some, the people you've just described, you wonder what you can do to set them on the right course, but the people around them in that centre who've committed obviously serious crimes but nowhere near as serious as you've just described, they need to be kept away from them if they're going to not go down the same path.
Oh, of course.
That's it. And people who say, oh, it's all soft rehabilitation stuff, well, it's about trying to make sure they don't do it again because they're going to be out in the streets eventually, aren't they?
Well, that's exactly right. And, I mean, you need diversionary programs put in there. And, I mean, we tabled this 2 years ago, and it's just fallen on deaf ears. And can I say, our members right across the system, at every facility, I mean, they have no confidence in senior management. They've passed motions to that effect. And really, it needs to come from David Elliott, the minister. Management have done nothing. We've put documents on the table. We've put suggestions. We've done everything to try and get them to act. You get the minister saying, well, I've contacted staff who've been assaulted, and they've told me that a specialist unit wouldn't have helped them. Well, I've got 20 members that are willing to come and meet with the minister and to tell him he's wrong.
Right.
He's wrong on this. This is what they need. They need to act on this immediately because the situation is fast spiralling out of control, and we will have a very serious incident in there. It's only a matter of time. And the government need to act to protect these frontline workers.
Okay. All right. Look, you've had your say. You're on the front page of the paper today. We'll see what the government does. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Stuart Little there from the PSA. There's that. I mean, the short-term issue talks about a serious problem looming. But I look at the longer-term issue of, teenagers who are, they've probably committed serious crimes. They could have been stealing cars. They could be habitual repeat offenders. That's why they're in there. But then they're also in there with murderers and terrorists, and ultimately, having them all lumped in together, you wonder what sort of brew you've got of what is going to be done in terms of crime for decades to come. 131873 is the number now. 12.5 minutes to 11 or to 10 in Queensland. Talking about crime and punishment, the Greg Inglis...